All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. And we're going to keep plugging on in our study of James, which is living our everyday lives with Jesus. Now, to understand why James is going to go where he's going today in chapter 3, we kind of need to go back to the end of chapter 1. Now, we've spent a lot of weeks already looking at how he expanded in chapter 2 what he was saying in the end of chapter 1. Well, we're going to look at one other thing that he was talking about there in the end of chapter 1, and that is, if you look with me at verse 26, if you have your Bibles open, he said, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, right after that, he talked about religion that is pure and undefiled before God. The Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, we talked about verse 27 for about a month when we went through chapter 2. When we get into chapter 3, he's going to talk about our tongues, what we say. Now, let me just kind of talk to you for a moment. I want you to think about it realistically. What is he talking about here? He's not just talking about what you say, but really what you communicate. Now, if you remember, in their culture, they didn't have certain things that we have today. So, for instance, in their culture, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have telephones. They didn't have smartphones so that you could get on your social media app, whatever it is that you're using. They didn't have the means to post things or even send messages or whatever and just communicate that way. Their communication with each other was primarily through what? Oral. In fact, most of the world at that time couldn't read. Only the elite could read. You could say, well, didn't they write? Yeah. People wrote, but it was the elite who wrote. Most people, their communication was by their mouth. Difference is today, everybody has a means of communicating and expressing themselves, right? The problem is, have you noticed, we're not doing too good with that. In fact, I think I've read it so many times here over the last 6 months, the great contradiction with people with social media is that they express themselves in social media in ways that they would never do in normal conversation with anyone. You and I found that to be true. Have you not met some of the most sweet, lovable people that you could interact with, but then when you read what they post online, it's like, is that the same person? You say, okay, George, well, what in the world does James have to do with that? Well, you're going to be surprised that what he's going to talk about today actually has meaning with that. Because we need to get it under control. Well, how do we do that? Well, we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about that, okay? About our communication. And the reality is, can I be honest with you? Do you realize that your words are either words of life or words of death? Paul talks about that in his epistles, that we communicate words of life or death. We either build people up or we tear them down. The problem is today in our culture, we're in a culture where we what? Tear people down. Everybody's got their opinion. Well, for you and I as believers, because you're going to say, George, well, you're fighting an uphill battle. How are you going to change the way people are in our culture? I'm not. Really, it's not my responsibility, but my responsibility is for you as believers to help you get it under control. Help you to see your responsibility that God calls you and I to. So let's take a look at the scripture, and then we're going to get into it. And you're going to be shocked at what James says. So let's take a look. I want you to notice with me, we're going to look at verse 1, and it'll be up on the screen. Here is what James writes in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that what For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the whole course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. All right, so let's take a look at this. We're going to divide it into three sections. We're going to look, first of all, that you and I need to be aware. We need to be aware of what we're saying and why. I'll give you an example. Let me ask you a question. Do we live in a culture today where people freely share their opinions? Would everybody agree with that? In fact, that's the American way, isn't it? That's the First Amendment, right? You have a right to share your what? Opinion. What, are you going to take away our right, George? No. But what I'm going to tell you is James wants you to understand that maybe you shouldn't be so free to share it. What? I should just share whatever I think. So some of you are Philly fans, and right now you're upset at the game. At least the people who were in the stadium were upset, right? And you are beside yourself. Like, what does this mean for the season? And you've got your opinion, and you're expressing it. Okay, great. But should you? Do you have to? Maybe what you say isn't right. You need to think about it. Now, why? Okay, be aware. Look with me. He's going to start off, and it's kind of confusing because you think that he's actually talking to somebody like me, a pastor. But let's look at what he says. I want you to notice with me verse 1, okay? Here's what he says. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So here's what he's saying. He's warning you and I, don't be ready to teach somebody something. Now, how do we do that, George? Well, here's my point. You are warned not to be so ready to share your thoughts and opinions. He's warning you. Don't be so prepared to share your thoughts and your opinions. It's not that you can't. He's not telling you that you shouldn't or whatever. He's just saying, be aware, you shouldn't just be so ready to tell people what you think. Well, that's how I am, George. I just tell people the way it is. Oh, yeah, really? I understand. But here's what Jesus is saying. Excuse me. James is saying, Jesus says it in another way, in another passage we'll see here in a moment, but I want you to understand, you need to be careful because you are going to be judged according to what you share. See, this is the thing that confuses most people. We live in a world where anybody can share anything, right? And there is no accountability because we have that freedom here, right? That's true, right, for our culture and our society. But the problem is, for you as a believer, you understand perspective of the world in a greater perspective. You understand that everything will be what? Brought into judgment. You understand that you are going to have to give an account. So here's my second point. You have to give an account for what you're communicating. You know, you ever heard somebody say, if you feel so hot under the collar, give yourself an hour or two before you respond? Some of you, if you're so hot under the collar, give yourself a day. Because usually when you're hot under the collar, you just let things fly. Have you ever noticed that doesn't go well in a relationship, right? It doesn't go well because you can't, once you say it, can you take it back? And I would say to you, once you post it, can you take it back? Yes, I can delete my post off. Yeah, but you don't know what the internet's like, do you? Once you post it, it's on the internet. It's always on the internet. So all these people who are going on right now, I laugh because I listen to, they're going on and deleting all their past posts like that's going to absolve them of what they said. The problem is it's always found. The internet has different things like Wayback Machine and so forth that can bring up posts from a long time ago. It's always there. You are always going to have to deal with what you wrote. So sometimes it's easier just not to say anything, right? Because the fact of the matter is you're going to be accountable. Like what? Well, notice, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 26 to 27. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, just stop for a moment. I want you to think back to your week, okay? I'm going to think back to my week since we were here last Sunday. I want you to think back to every conversation you had this last week, okay? Think back to the family time, the gathering you've got to. So let me ask you something. How many of you have said in the last week something foolish? One person is honest, okay? All of us, right? How many of you said things you don't even remember saying? Me? I can't remember 5 minutes ago. The fact of the matter is, how many of you said things that were harsh this week that you regret? You don't need to raise your hand. How many of you said things that were cutting or hurtful? And we forget them, right? Given another couple of weeks, we don't even remember. Now, the person you said it to, they remember, but you may not remember. That Jesus is saying to you that there will come a day in the day of judgment where you say, I'm saved, I'm okay. No, no, but you still have to what? Everybody still has to give an account. Just because you're saved, that just means you're not going to hell. But listen, you still have to what? Give an account. Like, what do you mean by that, George? You know, like, so I grew up in a home of George Ray Cannon Sr., which was my dad, and I wasn't going to get kicked out of the family, cease being a canon because of the junk that I did. That wasn't his ultimate way of dealing with me. But I still had to answer for what I did wrong, right? You and I still have to answer what we do wrong. Because here's the point. Don't be so ready. This is what James is saying. Be aware. Don't be so ready just to give your opinion because you're going to have to give an account. This dawned on me here in the last few weeks. It was actually a profound thing for me to realize. Did you realize, George, that not everything that you hold so strongly to could possibly not be what God wants? What do you mean, George? I think that what I want is what God... No. Wait a minute now. Could it be possible that your opinion of what you thought may not actually be what God wants? That he might want something different. And so one day, I'm going to have to answer to him for why I was so adamant. I was so adamant about what I thought. Only to find out later that it wasn't what God wanted. See, this is the reality. We're going to give an account, okay? Going to give an account. So that really brings up the whole issue now. Here it is. Look with me at verse 2. Look at what we look before we move into the next section. Here's what he says. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. Because here it is. Here's why we have to be careful. You have a tendency to stumble, whereas a perfect man controls himself. So would everybody agree with that? All of us have a tendency to what? Stumble, make mistakes, say things we shouldn't say, because only a perfect man is able to what? Control what he says. Now let's just be honest. Is any of us perfect? No, none of us are. We might think we are, but the reality is we're not. And because we're not perfect, we have that tendency to what? Stumble. To say things that we shouldn't. And so we need to be aware. So here's what we got to look. We're going to look at the whole issue now, verses 3 through 8, about what's uncontrollable. You and I have a mouth that's uncontrollable. We just need to admit it. So I want you to notice with me. We're going to look at several things here. First of all, look with me at 3 through 4. Verse 3 through 4. Here's what he said. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. Here's what I want you to notice. Look with me at what I want you to see here. Mankind has learned to control nearly everything in the world. Nearly everything in the world. Mankind, we're able to do it. In fact, I saw an interesting article this week on the news. I was like, are you kidding me? Here's what it is. Scientists believe that we're going to tame, are you ready for this? It's going to bother Tim in our church because he's a coon hunter. But scientists believe that we're going to tame coons to be our pets. And I was like, am I reading this? And the reason why is they say, are you ready for this? This is crazy. I don't know how they can determine this. But then some people think differently. Their snouts are getting shorter, not longer anymore. And because of that, they say, science is showing that we will be able to tame coons to be our pets. Now, I don't know about you. That's going to take a whole lot longer for me to ever even think about having a coon as a pet. Okay? But it's saying that we're going to be able to control them. Now, think about that. We're talking about being able to control what I think is totally uncontrollable as a coon. But we're talking about it. But there's one thing we can't control. So we can basically control everything. Almost everything, right? There's something we can't control. What is it? Well, we know what it is. Because of the nature of your tongue, it is the one thing you struggle to control. You ever said this? I'm going into the family gathering. I know there's a problem going on. I'm not going to say anything. Now, about an hour into the discussion, guess what? You say something. What happened to you saying you weren't going to say anything? Well, you know, George, yeah, that was my intention, but man, it came up and somebody was saying something I didn't like and my emotions got a hold of me and I had all these thoughts and I had to defend myself and I just let it loose. I just had to say it. Okay, what does that prove? You can't control your what? Your tongue. We can control everything else. Think about this. 10 years from now, when I come visit you at your house, I'm going to have to say hello to Freddy, your pet raccoon, right? No. But your tongue, guarantee you 10 years from now, you're still struggling to what? Control it, right? Because of the nature of the tongue, it's the one thing you struggle to control. That this is the reality. It's uncontrollable. It's uncontrollable. So then that just creates a problem for us. Because again, we got to be aware, one day we're going to be given an account, but here's our problem. And this is where we're going to end up with, right here, the problem. Here it is. I want you to notice with me 9 through 12. Here's what he says. Verse 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Here's the reality, okay? Here it is. Your tongue has two sides in the ways that you use it. Your tongue has two sides in the way that you use it. We all know that, right? We entered in here and we're using our tongue today through the music to what? Sing praises to God. Give Him glory. Give it within an hour, you're out on the road, somebody cuts you off, and then you're using your tongue to what? Curse their vehicle. Curse them, right? When just an hour ago, that same mouth that's cursing now is what? Just an hour before was praising God, telling people, I'll pray for you. Be encouraged. Laugh. Enjoy the Lord. This is the reality. Your tongue has two sides. So here it is. The same mouth will utter praise to God and then other curses over others. This is the reality of our mouths, isn't it? I would say that's the reality of our posts, because the same person communicates through their social media, one moment sharing some funny meme they've seen or some picture of a grandchild or a family member and the excitement that you have, and then the next moment you're posting something caustic and cutting about something that's happening and you feel like you've got to express your opinion. This is the nature of humanity, isn't it? That's why our tongue is so hard to control. It's not that the tongue is the issue. The issue is who? Us. Our hearts. But then I want you to notice with me, here it is, verses 9, if we keep going on here, verses 11 and 12, look at what it says here. Does a spring pour forth from it, from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, and a grapevine produce figs. Can a salt pond yield fresh water? Here it is. It is unnatural for you to use your tongue in such a way. You say, well, wait a minute, George. It's natural for humanity to do that, right? This is the way our society is, right? Yeah, I understand. That's the way the society. But for you and I as believers, James is letting us know what? That it's unnatural for you and I to be that way. Out of the same mouth coming praises to our God, and the same mouth, sometimes right after the praise, uttering curses towards somebody else. In fact, if you go back Notice now, that's why I'm telling you, a lot of what's going on here is an explanation of what's happening at the end of chapter 1. If you look at verse 26, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, remember, that's control your tongue, what is it? But deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This person's spirituality is meaningless. So what do we need to do? He's saying here, it's not natural for you to keep doing what you're doing. So get a grip. Take control. Learn to not say something. I'd say that's the best advice for us, right? Learn not to say anything. In fact, where do we go with this, George, as we end here? Well, ask yourself, are you in control or out of control? Well, you know, I don't say anything. No. Are you in control or out of control? Because again, communication for us isn't just by what comes out of our mouth. It comes out of what we type on our keyboards or on our touchpads, on our phone, when we're posting something or we're sending a message. Are you in control or out of control? Because the fact of the matter is, once you send it, it's sent. And you can't take it back. And again, as I've said to you, we either breathe words of life or death to people. So are you in control? Because it's important. Why is it important? Because you were created to be what? A relational being. And God has put you in the midst of relationships with people around you. If you're married, with your spouse, with your children, with your extended family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with the people that you work with, the people that you interact with, just in an everyday way. And the reality is those relationships, some of them are strong, some of them are superficial, but the reality is that the way to destroy them all is not having control over your tongue, which is expressed either verbally or even writing it down and sending a post. And once we release it, you can't take it back. And so many of us are just dealing with the fallout of what we've said. We hope that people would forget, but have you ever noticed? When you're arguing with somebody that you have a close relationship with and they bring up what you said 20 years ago for the 15,000th time, sometimes it would have been better if we had never said anything at all, right? Something for us to think about. Because next week when we look at this passage, he's going to tell us what we can maybe do to help us overcome it. So let's pray.